Here's the thing about adventure. It's never going to come knocking on your door. You got to get out there and track it down. And there's no better way to find it than behind the wheel of a 2024 Toyota Tacoma. With trail-hungry power, legendary capability, and head-turning style, the Tacoma is not for the sedentary. 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. And with all the toughness you could ask for, the Toyota Tacoma is the adventure you've been missing. Toyota, let's go places.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Gets it back. Throws it across the rink. DeMello the shot. Score! Dylan DeMello, the former Shark, sneaks one through with a minute 13 to play in the game. And the challenge continues for the Sharks in the third period as Winnipeg takes a 4-3 lead.
Yeah, I think we're all competitors in there. I think everyone's frustrated by the result. I think we've made some strides from last game. I thought we played harder tonight. I thought we had a really good start. But again, it's not 60 minutes. It's not 60 minutes yet.
All right, good morning, everyone. We are looking at a Wednesday morning in which the San Jose Sharks are coming off a very tough loss to Winnipeg, but I think also it's very indicative of how far this team has come in a very short amount of time. I am right there with you. There are no moral victories. However, you do have to compare this to the 18th of October when they lost 8-3 to Winnipeg. Last night, they lose 4-3. That is a very, very different game. That is a very, very different circumstance. And the San Jose Sharks are a very, very different team compared to what they were at that point. October 18th is still 10 days before the Sharks got their first win of the year. And although San Jose should not be taking moral victories in any way, shape, or form after a second consecutive 4-3 loss in which they have an opportunity to walk away with points and or a win, the Winnipeg Jets are one of the best teams in the NHL, if not the best team up to this point of the season. And I think that you have to look at the positives and not just the negatives. And I do think, however, that it is important for San Jose to lose these close games. And I know that does seem counterintuitive, but there's only one way for a team to get better, and that's to be pissed off about the losses, to be annoyed, to be sick of it, and to strive together collectively as a unit to want to be the better team. And I think that you have to go through this as a team. You have to go through the painful losses. You have to feel what it's like to lose these tight games, and you have to learn from them. It doesn't just happen overnight. We have often talked about the progress of San Jose as being nonlinear. Well, they followed up the lost 3-2 to Carolina with a 4-3 win against St. Louis. Now they've got two very tight 4-3 losses to Utah and Winnipeg, and a very tough challenge coming ahead against Colorado, and then again against the Oilers, then against Vancouver. So there's two games left heading into the three-day Christmas break on the 24th, 25th, and 26th before you then host Vegas, Calgary, and Philadelphia. But San Jose should be looking at the opportunity that lies before them to be that much better as a team, to be that much better as a collective, to be that much better in critical game situations. That said, I do think that it's going to be hard to stop the best team in the league, arguably, in Winnipeg, in, you know, like a power play situation. There's only so fast the Sharks can rectify what they have been and where they are and where they will be going. And I even would just implore you to look back at when San Jose was one of the best teams in the league. If they were in a tight game with a team in a rebuild, a team that was getting better but was not one of the top teams in the league, you would still expect San Jose to win. You would still expect San Jose on a night where the other team was making them less than their best to be enough to win the game. And I think that's kind of where Winnipeg is right now. Even though the Sharks played a very good game and controlled a lot of the play and took Winnipeg off their best game, Winnipeg, when they had opportunities, was able to find not just important plays, but maybe more specifically, opportunistic plays. They scored on the power play on two different occasions. That's going to be hard to deal with and San Jose, I don't blame them for giving up two power play goals to the best, arguably, power play in the league. I'm just saying that's what Winnipeg is right now. Now, San Jose scored a power play goal of their own. This was not a heavily penalized game like we saw the other day against Utah. This was more of a normal game with more of a normal flow, and San Jose just could not find the way to walk away with a win in this game, which, you know, I understand. I'm not saying they should be patting themselves on the back and saying, hey, we lost by a close amount, guys, but there is a part of me, as much as I was disappointed that they could not get the win last night, there is a part of me that recognizes that Winnipeg is one of the best teams, if not the best team, through this early part of the season. They have been playing phenomenal hockey. They were a very, very good team last year. They spanked the Sharks 8-3 earlier this year, and last night was indicative of a lot of growth. But at certain points, growth is not enough. I mean, we could look at the endless rebuilds that have been going on in Detroit, that have been going on in Anaheim, that have been going on in Ottawa, that have been going on in Buffalo, to where you would point to that and say, yeah, it's great that these teams are quote-unquote rebuilding, but you know, growth only serves you so long unless that growth is yielding results. And for San Jose right now, they need results. They need to figure out how to win these tight games, because all of their losses as of late, other than the 8-1 loss to Tampa, have been very, very tight games. You go back to that road trip, and they lost 3-1 to Florida and 3-2 to Carolina. I think that in short order, if you're only giving up three goals on the road, those should be situations that you can win. You then talk about the tight win they had against St. Louis. It was not an overwhelming win, but it was tight. They were able to take control of the game and get the win. You look at the game against Utah, a 4-3 loss. You look at the game against Winnipeg, that's a 4-3 loss. That is five straight games in which the margin of error is two or fewer goals. 3-1 loss, 3-2 loss, 4-3 win, 4-3 loss, 4-3 loss. And you're doing it against very good opposition. And I know that Utah has not been great up to this point of the year, but they've been experiencing a bit of a correction as to what they were maybe expected to be and been getting better and better. But I do think this sets up San Jose with a pretty awesome opportunity on Thursday night against Colorado, another very good team in which they will be testing themselves. But I also think it's important to note that San Jose has been better and better and better, and they will have their opportunities, and they will have their, you know, hopefully another tight game to where they can take those steps and show that they can manage those tight moments better than what they have done previously. Because I won't say that it's been bad against Utah or Winnipeg. Utah, the game was so heavily penalized, it's really hard to look at that game as a normal game. But it was a very similar circumstance against Winnipeg, in which they had their opportunities and they were just not able to walk away with the win. Both these games they were leading. Both these games they had their opportunities. Both these games the opposition was able to find a way to win. And last year, the San Jose Sharks would find ways to lose. And I don't think that's the narrative that we're looking at with San Jose this year. They are getting beaten. Good teams, or just the opposition on any night, is finding a way to win. This is not the Sharks having some sort of a collapse. I do not look at what happened in the last couple of games as a collapse. I look at it like San Jose is going up against good teams. San Jose does not have the same talent as the opposition overall. They are getting better, but they are still learning and figuring out how to do this. And so you just have to take it one game at a time. And for San Jose, I do think that they are learning right now one game at a time, but that doesn't mean that there is always going to be the growth from one game to the next. I tell you where there was a little bit of growth, even though I wasn't too concerned about it out of the game against Utah, was in terms of the response to teams, as the expression last night was, taking liberties with Macklin Celebrini and going after him. There was good response. Macklin also is not taking it. He's pushing back more of his own because he knows that, you know what, it doesn't matter if he's 18. Other teams are worried about him, so he doesn't have to take that crap. He can get right back in their faces and give them something to worry about beyond just what's happening with his play on the ice. He can be, you know, a bit of a red ass, and I don't have any problem with that. He is a very competitive, very, very talented player, and he is showing skill on a night-to-night basis. That, like I have said, I don't want to qualify him as a top five player in the NHL, but he does things that only top five players do. And so, yeah, I don't have a problem with him getting in guys' faces and making sure that, you know, they see that he is not just some pushover 18-year-old kid. He should go out there and, you know, once again, just be a contributing performing player. And last night he was brilliant. I mean, he was a goal scorer. He was an assist maker. He was finding guys and making great passes and doing everything that we've expected from Macklin Celebrini at this point. And I think that you are watching the evolution of a superstar in real time in the San Jose Sharks number one overall draft pick. And I think that is a great thing to see. However, it still doesn't mean that it's always going to yield the results that you want. Superstar players are not enough. You need a cast of characters that has experience and that has ability, and the Sharks are definitely trending in that direction. They are getting there, but it takes time. Macklin Celebrini, I only imagine the amount of points he would have if he was on a very, very high-level competitive team. It would probably be a little bit silly. You know, the Sharks are a team that are in a rebuild. The thing that we get with San Jose, why maybe these losses hurt that much more, is that you can see the potential. You can see what they are capable of collectively as a unit. You've seen them beat good teams like a Washington recently and be right there to the end against a Carolina and a Florida. Yes, they are not a great team as of yet, but they are exciting. They can control games. They can do it for certain points of the game, but it's not for a full 60 minutes. And you need to get to the point where it's a full 60 minutes if you want to walk away with wins in the NHL. And I think that that's probably more to the point of what they're learning is that they have to not have, I wouldn't even call it breakdowns. It just shows that if you give a team like Winnipeg any opportunity over the course of a 60-minute game, they will have the ability to punish you. They will have the ability to beat you and take advantage of the plays that come to them by way of a power play, by way of something else akin to that. And that's just what San Jose needs to figure out right now. But I don't walk away from last night's game particularly disappointed, not just because it's a better performance, but I'm saying, you know what? It is indicative of growth, even if there are no moral victories, to go toe-to-toe with top teams, which is what they did against Florida, which is what they did against Carolina, which is what they've been able to do, you know, multiple times as of late, getting that win against Washington. You know, the only game as of late that's gotten away from them is the Tampa game, which, okay, that was a bad game. That'll happen. And especially for a team like San Jose that is rebuilding. But you look back at all the games as of late, San Jose has been in there in all of these games. You know, the shootout losses, the, you know, empty net goals that took a 3-2 loss to Dallas to a 5-2 loss. They're in every single game. And that is growth. I know that's not what people want to hear, but you know, you compare that to a year ago when San Jose was getting blown out left and right. This is a sign of a positive direction for San Jose. It is a sign that what they are doing is working. And while it might not be yielding wins as often as you would like, give it more time. Give it more time and look for those next steps. You know, it's not easy to beat Winnipeg. And yes, you would have loved for them to beat Utah, but I still think these are steps, important steps in the right direction for where San Jose wants to go. And I am very curious to see what they do against the Avalanche on Thursday night, because I think that Colorado is a good, good team. I think that they are, obviously, with the acquisition of Mackenzie Blackwood, a cup contending team, but so is Winnipeg, and so is Carolina, and so is Washington. And the Sharks went toe to toe with those teams. So let's see what they do against Colorado. I'm very excited. A year ago, I would have been, oh, dear God, they're going to get smashed. Now I'm of the mind of, hey, you know what? I'm pretty curious to see what San Jose can do in this game, and I think there's a chance they could walk away with a win, because I think they've shown that, except for the one game against Tampa, they can walk away with a win against anyone. It's going to be hard for them to do so. They're going to have to play not perfect hockey, but very, very good hockey, but there is a distinct probability they can walk away with a win in these games. So I will take it. Before we get into some of the post-game audio, and then I have a couple interviews that I did on Monday with William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlin for you guys to listen to, I wanted to get into some of the highlights from our Hall of Famer, Dan Rusinowski, like Tyler Toffoli getting the Sharks back into a tie game after Winnipeg had the early lead.
Nice pass there by Kovalenko through two players, gets it to Celebrini, and here comes Macklin down the right to the middle. Here comes a shot by Liljegren right on. He didn't get all of it, but that was a good stick stop by Hellebuck. Behind the net, centering play, score! Kovalenko gets it behind the net. He wasted not even a millisecond. He got it right out to Tyler Toffoli, and the former Winnipeg Jet bangs it in to tie the game 1-1 at 1:52 in the second.
For Tyler Toffoli, that was his 14th of the year, and he continues just to play absolutely phenomenal hockey. I love his positioning. I love how he gets in deep and gets into the dirty, greasy spaces and is able to take advantage of hard playmaking work by Macklin Celebrini and by Nikolai Kovalenko. By the way, Kovalenko keeps on getting points. He had another assist last night. He is absolutely a player and a great acquisition by Mike Greer. You look at that trade. You got a goalie. You got a second-round draft pick, and you got a forward who's a playmaker in the NHL. That's a great trade for Mike Greer once again, at least in terms of the early returns. And I also thought that Georgiev was really, really good last night. Again, you give up two power play goals and a tipped goal. That's not on him, guys. I know a lot of people are looking at what happened with him in Colorado. There are different reasons for that to go down. And, you know, I just don't think that he is beyond playing great hockey once again. And I think that he made a number of big-time saves throughout the game last night and was not to blame. All right, so after the Sharks tie it up at 1-1, it's Mark Scheifele at the 7:28 mark that gives Winnipeg a 2-1 lead. And then Macklin Celebrini, 17:11 of the second, he comes back with his 11th goal of the year.
Here's Toffoli across the line, holds the puck, cuts behind the goal line, slides it off the board, stopped by Wallman, left point, holds on to it, gives to Celebrini, moves into the circle, backhander, he scores! Macklin Celebrini with a backhander that went through several players, and it's in the net. The Sharks have tied the game 2-2 at 17:11 of the second period.
That backhand through traffic and through Alex Wenberg's legs, those are the things that he does, Macklin Celebrini, that make him, in my opinion, have the ability to be a superstar. And when I say he does things on a night-to-night basis that only top five players in the league can do, it's plays like those that I'm talking about, because he is just so freaky good. He has such vision. He has such accuracy. You look at just the passes that he makes, and then you look at a backhand like that, and he just has so much raw skill. It's amazing that people didn't realize how good he was in the draft. Maybe Mike Greer did. Maybe that the Sharks knew he was going to be like this, the hockey ops staff. I don't know if they did, but watching him play and watching him have these moments and minutes and just overall incredible abilities night after night after night, I don't know. It is pretty shocking to watch, guys, but Macklin Celebrini, he is the real deal, for lack of a better term, and he continues to get better and better seemingly with every single game. If you're having a two-point night against one of the best teams in the NHL, and that's not a surprise, and you're 18 years old, yeah, you're in a good place right now in terms of your career development. And Macklin Celebrini is in a good place in terms of his career development. So yeah, it's been pretty fun to watch. The San Jose Sharks would then find themselves in the lead thanks to a Fabian Zetterlin goal, who, since being dropped down in the lines and being sat down a couple games ago, he has just responded beautifully and has been playing great, aggressive hockey.
Here's Kyle Connor walking back behind the Sharks' net, moving into the right circle, exchanging now with Pionk. He almost ran into a teammate, now shoots through traffic. That was a chaotic opportunity, but it went just wide of the net on the deflection. Now the Sharks move it out. Here's a chance. Zetterlin, 2-on-1 development with Goodrow. Zetterlin moving in, shooting it, score! Zetterlin looked over to his left and then snapped it to his right. Got it by Hellebuck. At 4:44 of the third period, the San Jose Sharks have taken a 3-2 lead for Fabian Zetterlin. It is his 11th goal of the season, and that's got to feel mighty good for the Swedish native.
Huge plays once again coming from San Jose to give a 3-2 lead and maybe flirt with the idea of beating Winnipeg, but you knew it was going to be difficult. Even when they take that lead, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this game is a long way from over. A second goal of the night from Kyle Connor, his 19th of the year off the power play, made it 3-3. And then with a minute 13 left, Adam Lowry, his 9th of the year, makes it a 4-3 final for Winnipeg. And the Sharks, again, it's tough. They should not be hanging their head. They played a very, very good game. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski after the loss.
Yeah, I think we've come a long way, but still not there yet, obviously.
That was his response when asked about comparing where the team had been a couple of months ago when they lost 8-3 versus last night. The Sharks have come a long way. They are not quote-unquote there yet, but there are signs that they are taking steps in the right direction, so I continue to appreciate everything that they have to offer game in, game out. He was also asked about what the team needs to do to manage things better in the third period to prevent breakdowns.
Yeah, it was better, but we still lost the game. So Still need a lot of work to do.
But I will say that's probably the correct response. All right, I wanted to give you these interviews that I said I did, both Fabian Zetterlund and William Eklund. Let's start with William Eklund. All right, we are here with William Eklund of the San Jose Sharks. Finally back home, man. You get a couple of days off in between games. How are you feeling heading into Tuesday night's game?
I feel good. You know, obviously, it's a weird having some days off here and be back home. So it's good to be back home and, you know, looking forward to tomorrow's game.
What is the best part about getting back home for you after a long road trip? Is it the getting in your own bed, or is it getting back to the food that you normally eat when you're not on the road?
I think, you know, combining both, you know, coming home is pretty nice and, you know, get a little more into your routines at home, and it's a little different from the road, but yeah, it feels good to be home.
Do you still have your mom's food stored in the freezer like you said you did last year?
No, not that this time, but she's coming here soon for Christmas, so maybe she'll help me out.
Nice, nice, good deal. Obviously, the game on Saturday night, pretty frustrating. I won't ask your opinions on some of the calls, but I will ask you how difficult it is to play in a game where there's that many whistles, where there's that many penalties, where the flow is just kind of taken away.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes. You know, it's going to be those games, though. It's 82 games in the season, and, you know, it's not going to be every game that it's flowing. So you're going to have those games when it's going to be blow down, and I feel like that was a game Saturday, and it was a little weird game.
Yeah, it was a weird game. I look at the way the team has evolved this year. You guys are able to win some of those tight games now. Like earlier in the season, you know, there were some shootouts. There was like the game against Dallas, Anaheim early on, where you weren't able to win them. But now we look back at the game against Washington. That was a tight win that you guys were able to take control of. The game against St. Louis to end the 6-game road trip. What do you think the difference is in those tight wins versus a tight loss like Saturday night?
Sometimes it's just, you know, wanting more than them. I think last game, obviously, in the third period, we weren't really playing that good. And, you know, we got to stay on attack. We're an attacking team. I feel like that's going to be our main thing going into the future. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of skilled guys in the lineup. And we're just going to stay on the gas pedal and keep going, I feel like.
The coach has challenged you recently, shifted you around on lines a little bit, sat you down at the end of a period. Do you like that when a coach is challenging you, when he's sending you a message like, hey, I need more from you? Because in a way, it's almost a compliment. They're saying, you are this good. We need you to be the best player that you can be.
Yeah, obviously, it's going to be ups and downs during the season. And I know that coming into the season. And, you know, it's for every player. And obviously, the team needs me to do good things out there. And, you know, I want to do good things out there. So, yeah, I will do that.
You've picked up right where you left off at the end of last year, just being a consistent producer. I've talked to people who say that you are developing into a star in this league. I don't know if you want to get into that, but does it feel good to have your game produce the results that you probably expect?
Yeah, you know, it feels good. Obviously, it's like I said, it's ups and downs during the season, but I feel like I've taken a huge step from last year too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to continue to take those steps. You know, I'm only 22 years old and trying to find my game even more and more in this league and, you know, becoming that player that I want to be.
You were, I remember, I don't know if upset is the right term, maybe disappointed 4 years ago when you were up for, you know, 7 games and then you got moved back to Sweden for the rest of that year. Knowing what you know now about the NHL and what it takes, do you kind of think like, well, it was good for me to be upset because you wanted it, but it's been better for your development in the long run?
It's a tough question to ask. You know, right there, I wanted to stay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I wouldn't feel this different than it today. You know, I always wanted to stay in the best league in the world. And,
right.
You know, obviously, it's going to be tough to play in the best league in the world. And I knew that. I knew that 4 years ago. I knew that now. So it's a little different from there to now. Obviously, I'm a different person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been way better for sure.
And your play, I mean, I remember back then we all saw the potential, but now you are the potential. I mean, do you think about where your game was versus where it is now and just think about, oh, yeah, I'm a different player now?
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously, yeah, that's the thing I wanted to be. You know, continue to get better every day. I know how hard I work, you know, in the summer and here and, mm-hmm. and there. And, you know, I think if you do those things right, you're going to be a better player. And that's what I think I've done.
So this is the breaking news that I learned today, because I know that you're a soccer fan and I work for the Earthquake, so it's a big part of my world as well. Fabian doesn't do the pregame soccer routine, he says, but he's a fan himself.
That's crazy.
Why doesn't he? You got to peer pressure him into doing that.
It's the first Swede I think I ever played with that doesn't play soccer. So,
you know,
but he says he's a fan. He likes, he likes Manchester United.
It is weird. So that's, you know, it's I've been on him on that, and gonna be keeping on him on that. But I don't know. One day maybe he'll pull in there.
You got to get Alex on him as well, because I know he's a big fan.
He's good. He's a really good player. So
that's what he said. Who was your team growing up?
My team. It's my Swedish team, obviously. You're running.
Yes.
So I got to say that, but I'm more towards Man United than everyone else, and I think that's kind of what I'm rocking with.
Yeah, so he was saying that he liked Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That's it. So I was like, you probably liked it when he was with Man U.
Yeah, I love that. It's the biggest guy we ever had, so it's pretty cool.
Nice. Looking ahead to Tuesday's game tomorrow against a good Winnipeg team that you guys did not have success with previously, but you're coming up very good performances against Carolina, against Florida, against Washington, some of the top teams in the East Conference. Do you feel that prepares you well for tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously it's going to be, you play really good teams, and, you know, it's always going to be tough to win against. It's tough to win games in this league, and we know that. And it's not different for tomorrow. You know, we're going to come in there, and we're going to be hungry from the start.
Nice. Well, I appreciate your time as always, William. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, great reactions and insight from William Eklund is also, and Fabian Zetterlund. All right, we are here with Fabian Zetterlund, who was a man possessed the other night out there on the ice, man. You really were aggressive in your skating. You were aggressive with your play. You worked your way back up throughout the game from the fourth line. But was that something that you like having a coach say to you, to say like, hey, we're going to put you somewhere because we need a response? Because you did respond.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a lot of games, and you can't be like play your best every night. And some nights you have to go down and just battle it, you know, and just change mind a little bit, you know, just focus on simple stuff out there. And it worked out, and I felt that helped me a lot. And I mean, I'm back normal right now.
Do you appreciate the challenge from a coach when they're trying to spark that response out of you?
Yeah. I mean, I like to be challenged, you know, take advantage of it, you know, and just go out and improve, you know, and just show who I am and what kind of player I want to be. And
The speed that you showed out there on the ice was the thing that really stuck out to me. You were just aggressively skating. You were all over the place. It was more so than usual. Is that something you think you need to incorporate to your game more often?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can use my speed more, you know, take the puck to the net, you know, almost every shift out there, and create some 50-50 battles. And I mean, obviously shoot the puck more too. That's what I want to do. And take it from there.
Shot volume, it works.
Yeah.
The game was very frustrating for a number of reasons. I won't get you in trouble, so we won't talk about the officiating per se, but it's difficult when you've got that many penalty kill situation, when the game is losing its flow due to that many whistles over the course of the game. How did you feel that the team handled those situations in terms of, you know, just dealing with that many penalties being called?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we can't take so many penalties, you know, that's going to cost us. But I mean, at the end of the day, we have to learn about it, you know, and just kill it off, you know. That's something we have to work on, you know. And I think we can do a better job of that. And I mean, the winning will come too after that.
The team has obviously been playing very good hockey since the 07-02 start to the season. One of the things I always talk about is that people say, oh, you know, last year was tough, but the vibe with everyone was always good. Everyone was always in a good mood. Do you think that's carried over into this year? And do you think it's been easier then to bring in new guys like Liljegren, like a Kovalenko, like a Georgiev?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we have a fun group, you know. We like to have fun outside the rink, you know, and even when we're at the rink, we laugh and we work together. So I mean, it's a great group of guys in there, and we have the chemistry, and we're just gonna build on it every day. And I mean, we can see that from the start of the training camp. We build something here, and we're just gonna continue.
And there's a large Swedish contingent here on the team. You gotta like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're a bunch of them, so yeah, that obviously helps.
Now, I know that you guys always do the soccer drills before the game. I know that Alex Wenberg is a big soccer fan. I know Eklund is. Are you as well?
I'm a big soccer fan, yeah, but I don't play soccer before the games.
You don't?
No, I don't, but I'm a big soccer fan.
Who was your team growing up?
Manchester United.
Okay, what about, you didn't watch the Swedish league or?
Not really that much, but I mean, I kind of, it's some teams I watch sometimes, you know, but most of the time it's Premier League and that stuff. Yeah.
What about Ibrahimovic though? You were watching him, right?
Yeah, I was watching him a lot too when I was younger. Yeah. Nice.
Especially when he was with Man U.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, Zets, I appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Great stuff from the two of them, and we are out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.